we were showing each other we were serious through actions rather than words. It's just like, okay, yeah, you know, I'm a pull up. And lo and behold, I flew down there. And here I am.
Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 94, Voices to be Heard. Hey, techie community, welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me here for episode 94, Voices to be Heard. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. This week, I spoke with emerging artists Voice and Elijah. Voice fell in love with music the first time he heard his father playing the guitar. As a child, Voice quickly realized that music was something he couldn't live without. Speaking truth to his soul, music provided Voice with the strength to overcome adversity. Though he studied music theory, trumpet, and piano, Voice truly intended to follow in his father's footsteps. While attending North Carolina AMT and preparing for a career in medicine and the military, Voice was introduced to Elijah through a mutual friend. Elijah was attending the University of Maryland and was passionate about a career in the MBA. With love and support from his parents, Elijah focused most of his efforts in this direction. Elijah's father was a member of the famed 1952 Platters Band and raised Elijah in the church. This combination provided Elijah with a deep love of music, which proved to be greater than his passion for basketball. Upon revelation, the relief felt by his father was clear as Elijah expressed his love of music and an interest in the industry as an adult. When Voice and Elijah were initially introduced, they had no interest in forming a friendship. The recognition of a mutual dedication to music created mutual respect and a new collaboration. Their music has an urban vibe with a deep bass line running through it. Listen in as these rising stars discuss the entrepreneurial journey and a bond formed over a song. Voice, Elijah, welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Certainly. I am super excited to dive into your music, of which I absolutely love. But before we get there, I do really want to rewind the clock and look at the journey as a whole. So I'm curious, Voice, before you decided to become a singer, begin branding yourself and building out your practice as a musician, what did you think life would be like? Go back to age 5, 6, 7, when an aunt or an uncle would ask you what you wanted to be when you grew up. What did you think life was going to look like?
I knew that I was going to follow in my dad's footsteps as far as the military. So, and I also wanted to study medicine. So that's what life was before. You know, as a five-year-old, I used to always ask my mom and dad like crazy questions, like, you know, hey, dad, how do planes get in the air? You know, just random questions. Eventually that, you know, got me to college and I ended up playing in a band, playing trumpet. And, you know, I wasn't into the vocal aspect of music, but I always had a love for music. So I ended up picking up the trumpet and the piano. And then I graduated from North Carolina A&T, and then I joined the military. So, because I already knew I was going to join. So that's what life was, working in the medical field in the military for the rest of my life.
That's hilarious. Pretty and structured. I understand that. I understand that completely. In fact, to this day, hanging in a closet somewhere in my parents' home is a little tiny kid's doctor's coat from my physician set as a child. And I too studied the violin for 11 years. So I was on a very similar track. My father was also in the military for many years. So I understand the structure of it and the design there, but the inspiration from what I understand, your father was really involved in music and loved guitar. Yes.
Yes. He definitely played guitar. He used to always play it for me, but then he would always play like certain songs. He didn't really know a lot, but you know, that was still a thing for me because I can never, still to this day, cannot play guitar.
Right.
Because I just can't get my fingers to coordinate right. I was just like, you know what? This isn't for me. I was like, I can enjoy listening to it. But the other inspiration was also, of course, the trumpet and piano. You know, I studied music theory in school as well. So, you know, that really, you know, helped my love for music grow. because I got to understand what I was listening to. And you enjoy something more, especially when you understand it completely. So.
Definitely the recognition of foundation of any area of life really builds towards the experience and the appreciation of it. So I totally grasp. It's funny, we met back on Clubhouse, one of the newest apps out there. And in one of the rooms that we were in, we were actually chatting about something very similar. The lack of knowledge of music theory of most of the artists that come through the room. You start the journey, but if there's no foundation or understanding of what it is they're truly working towards, it can become a little fuzzy in that area. So definitely.
Yes,
Thank you for that.
yes.
Elijah, I'm curious, what is it that you thought life would look like when you were a child and when you had aunts or uncles asking you what it is you were thinking life would be like when you grew up? What did you think that was going to be like for you?
Oh man, honestly, the complete opposite of what it is today, and where I'm what I'm pursuing today. I actually wanted to I wanted to be in the NBA. When I was growing up, basketball was like my life. It was something that I couldn't live without. I eat, sleep, and breathe it like it all growing up. But you know, music was something I grew up around as well. Just because you know, I grew up in the church. My dad has a musician's background as well. He used to sing for the Platters back in the day, and he's traveled around and had his shot at being in the industry. So it was something that he always drilled in me. I grew up listening to a lot of OJs, a lot of Marvin Gaye, which is actually my favorite musician of all time. But just being in the church, just being a church boy and just always growing up listening to music, you just never, when you hear certain songs today, you hear a lot of R&B, you hear a lot of hip hop that has like that trap feel. You hear the church in the music. Like you can play that in church. Like I know those drums, I know that bass line. I know that guitar when I hear it. I know that piano sound when I hear it. So it's like you can't escape. And that's what kind of just sucked me in after a while. I tried to resist it for years and years. And then I just remember just telling my dad, I was like, man, I think I want to just like, I want to be a musician. He was like, I knew you was gonna come around. He was like,
So he called you out on it,
yeah, he called me out on it, you know. He said, I knew it. He's like, I knew it was in you. He was like, yeah, man, come on and get around me. And so he tried to show me how to sing a little bit better and just understand the whole notes better. Just over the time, I never really took it too serious. But again, I just could never escape it throughout all my distractions in life. About a couple of years ago, like I said, I told him, I was like, I'm gonna do it and I'm gonna really do it. And I haven't stopped doing it since. So yeah, I'm glad where I'm at today. I'm glad I stopped picking up that basketball and start picking up that pen. Recording music more for real. It works better. It feels better. It's less stressful, you know. And I ain't got run and do no suicide, so that's even better, you know.
You know, when I
Yeah,
was
no
studying
baselines.
music, it's funny how you have to make those decisions as you're growing up and how you start off in one area of life and have these passions and enjoyments. And you think that that's the direction that you're going to go in. You think that's where your path is going to end up. And adults attempt to foster those passions as best they can, because as parents and as grandparents, that's the best we can do, is to try to make sure that our kids and grandkids have the opportunity and the ability to enjoy their passions in the future. But it's amazing to me, as many people as I've interviewed at this point, how many people go through the journey, start off with passion, a desire, and a thought process, and get so far as even multiple degrees in a field and still make that pivot in their journey. So tell me how it is the two of you met and what started this collaboration.
I'm gonna let him say, oof, yeah.
So,
This sounds like a good one.
It is a good
I'm gonna
one,
take
yeah.
you, I'm gonna take you way, 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 way back to when we first met.
Oh, yeah.
So, way before the collaboration, we met in college. We were actually neighbors. I was going to North Carolina A&T. He was going to UNCG. And I met him through a mutual friend. You know, we ended up bonding. You know, I'm not gonna go into details about it, about that part, you know. But But we ended up bonding, and it was a very good bond. He was at the time, you know, into the vocal music more than I was. Like, of course, I was a musician first. So, you know, there was a time we actually went to one of our friends' house to record a song, and I was just like, man, this actually is fun. And I think that's what made our bond stronger as well. He actually put out on projects on SoundCloud and stuff, and I would listen to him, and he would tell you I didn't like him.
Oh yeah, nah. He told me straight up. He was like, man, I did not like any music you made. Like, you know, and that's, you know, that's, you know what they say. Like, you expect your friends to like really be your biggest supporters, but in reality, they're not gonna. They're not half the time. But I finally needed a friend to tell me, hey, bro, I'm not for you. I'm not your demo. And he told me that at the time. And I was like, well, you know, it was what it was. But I knew he was always going to be honest with me. And that's what made me trust him more when it came to the music, too.
Now, he made one song, right? It was one song. And it was a song called My Side. And I heard it and I was like, oh, this is hot. This is, you know what I'm saying? And this is like fast forward, like 2 years?
Like, it was 2007. Yeah, it's like 2017. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 2017. Yeah, it was 2017 because he graduated from Full Sail. And I went over there and I was like, man, I was just playing the song back to back. And then he got in the car and I was like, yo, I like this song, man. I want to do a remix to it. mind you, I had no studio, no lyrics, I never written a song before, like, you know, an actual song. But I was like, I want to get on this song. So you're looking at a musician. Yeah,
he was adamant. He was like, I told him, I said, listen, man, I had to trust him. You know, I didn't know what he sounded like in the studio. Mm-hmm. I knew he could sing, and I knew, you know, he had a musical ear. But, you know, that's, you're taking a risk when somebody hasn't been recording as long as you have, or at least you're practicing recording their own voice for that long. So I'm like,
definitely
taking a risk, but he's my bro. So I'm going to give him a shot. You know, everybody, you know, gets their first foot in the door by being given the opportunity. So I gave him an opportunity. So if you can record it wherever you're going to go, I don't care where you go. Just make sure it sounds good. And if it sounds good, then we'll put it on there. Rest was history. He came through. I was impressed. Yeah. Was that his first time? Like, I was impressed. I was a, right. I was kind of jealous, low key.
Yeah.
I was like, dang. I was like, homie, kind of crazy.
So wait a minute. I've been working at this.
And that's
I'm like, I've been actually like practicing. He ain't even like hit the gym. Like, come on, uh-huh. Busting threes.
I just walked to the studio. But what was crazy is that I tried out the studio for like 30 minutes and I was like, all right, bet, let's start recording. And that's exactly what happened. I was in the studio for 2 hours just for one verse. And wow. I was just like, all right, I think this is good enough. And that was it. That was the longest I've ever spent on a verse inside of a studio. I said, wow. Never again. but it gets better. It gets better. So literally at the time that, once we released that, like, he stopped doing music for a while because, you know, he was in school. And then after that, that's when you went to Texas, right?
Yeah. I was in Houston at the time.
Yeah. So like, he stopped doing music. Like he wasn't real adamant on like getting into the music. And that's when I picked up, because right after we did that remix for one of his songs, that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to go. And I made this EP, and I sent it to him, and he ain't like it that much neither. Like, you know, that was my first project, and I was just like, I'm just gonna see what happens. I remember that night too. I was just sitting in the bed. Yeah, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna put it out there. Let's just see what happens. And like, it was no structure. It was nothing. And after that EP, you know, my brother, he gave me like his feedback. I got feedback from friends, and it was some pretty bad feedback. So I took it all in and tried to, you know, work on it and made it better. Meanwhile, he's hiding in the cut somewhere writing music. So I'm like, Okay.
Yeah. I was in my stash for about 2 years, just
Yeah.
writing music.
So, you know, then we had a show in Miami, and I think that's when like our bond really, really started to form, because we both was like, okay, let's do this, like no matter what. And I think we went down there with three songs. That was it. It was a song called My Side. Yeah. It was a song called I Know, and Drop It Low. Now those were the three songs.
Yep.
And we sat there trying to figure out which song are we gonna do first. And we ended up being mad at each other, not like at each other. We was like mad at the situation, because we felt like we should have chose a different song to compete with.
Mm. that was a valuable lesson that we learned.
Yeah.
And that was in Miami. That was in Miami.
That was in Miami.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a competition in Miami.
Yes, it was. It was called it was called Coast to Coast Live.
Yep.
It's like this big venue or the big group of people that bring indie artists together, and like the grand prize, I think at the time was what, like $50,000?
Yeah, you basically had to they go around the world, and they do this where they, you know, host these showcases to find like talent in the cities that they're in. So at the time when I was in Houston, and I know he fast forwarded a lot, but at the time when I was in Houston, I found out about it, and I submitted the My Side record, because that was like the only record I knew could probably get me in a door at a time. Like you said, my music wasn't really as presentable at the time, right? So I sent that, and I was like, man, I was like, yo, they said they want to jump. They want me to be in the showcase. And he was like, shoot, bro, I'm going to come out there. So he literally flew to Houston from D.C. just to come perform for one night.
Nice.
And that's how I knew he was also really dedicated.
Yeah, man.
I was just going to say, talk about dedication.
Yeah,
if that
yeah,
wasn't
like,
the answer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We was like, you know, we was showing each other we were serious through actions rather than words. It's just like, okay, yeah, you know, I'm a pull up. And lo and behold, I was like, you got a place for me to stay? Flew down there, here I am. And that was it. And I'm not trying to like go really into it. I'm trying to give her what she needs to know.
Yeah, for sure. No, for sure.
So,
for sure.
So after that, that's when so I dropped the single, and I think did I drop my second EP before you dropped Unorthodox? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you had already dropped Sound of My Voice too. Yeah,
yep. Yeah. I dropped the second EP, and then, you know, mind you, he's still giving me his feedback, and then he drops Unorthodox Being with the song Drop It Low that I referenced earlier. That was on his EP, so you know we're like getting into our we're like really getting into our music, you know, during that time me and him was just talking back and forth about the music. It really was a lot of talking back and forth, and us just understanding each other. We already had that friendship back in school. Now we're just taking our friendship to another level. We've already had that chemistry, so you know we was already tight. Now I'm trying to. So he dropped that. I ended up dropping the album. He ended up dropping his first album. It was called Hattie's Boy, and my album before that was called Hear Me Now. And then after he dropped his album, I ended up dropping another EP called I've Been Drinking. Now this is where it gets great. So this is when the pandemic happens. So the pandemic happened. Yeah, so mind you, so this is, that's why I was trying to like mash it all together, because this can be a long story. So
it's a long story, like he was saying, you know, during the pandemic, it was like literally just right before like he even dropped I've Been Drinking. So just to give some context, so it was around June. He was shooting a music video, and I was coming there to support him and, you know, just help direct him a little bit. And then also like I was coming to get busy in the studio with him. And this was literally in June. And I remember like it was about a week before I came out that way. We and him just like were having a random conversation. It was like, bro, we need to do a project together. And first it started off as an EP. It was like, we need to do like a 4-song EP together. And mm-hmm. I was like, word. So I get busy. I just like, I don't talk to him for about a day or two. And I find these beats and I send him these beats. And I said, I already got something written up to. I'm seeing some references to what I got. He was like, cool. Send him a reference of a record. He was like, oh, I like that. We gonna do that one. Then I sent him another joint. I was like, cool. I didn't know what we got. When I got to DC, I didn't know what he was gonna do musically. Again, going back to that trust factor, right? I didn't trust him again. I didn't know what he was going to say on any of his verses. Mm-hmm. Funny thing was, is it was a long day. I'm talking about probably rain. A 12-hour day. Yeah, rain. Mm. I mean, it was a little cold. It was hot at the same time, sticky. We outside trying to shoot this video for him, get him situated. We eat all day. You know, we ate for the first time at like 5:30. And then we go to our studio session like 7. We get in the studio. It's no games. It was no games. We got busy. We had his engineer like, oh, y'all ain't come to play. It was like, nah, time is money. And we came out with 2 fire records. We came out with just 2 dope records. It was like, this is the start of our project. Now, and I'm gonna let him carry it forth through there.
Now, Brad, now after we did those 2 songs, Eli calls me one day and goes, man, we should do more. I was like, what you mean more? You don't want to do just 4 songs? He was like, nah, man, let's just do an album. And I was like, I was already in my head of like creating another album. So I was being a little selfish. I didn't want to tell him. So this is his first time hearing that. So like, you know, I was a little selfish at the time because I was like, man, I want to put out my album because during that time I was really going through a lot. And you know, so instead of dropping an album, I ended up dropping the I've Been Drinking EP. So I took that sacrifice. I was like, you know what? I got enough good songs. I got the concept already down. Let me just put it out there. And I really just wanted to put it out there just to like, to be relevant still. Mm-hmm. Yep. So and he was like, yo, we're going to do this album. So I needed to get that off before I could really completely focus. Mind you, we started in June and we did 2 songs. We didn't record another song until what?
It was like
the end of September.
Dog, it was October. We finished all the rest of our songs literally in a month's time. We were done in November. Mm-hmm. We were done with the album in November. We got everything mixed and mastered down. So my Christmas Day, by just right after Christmas Day, we uploaded the joint right up there to the DistroKid. Like, we was done.
Yeah. And what? No, you go ahead, bro.
I was just going to say, it was just like, me and him were just like he said, when he finished I've Been Drinking project, and I could tell, you know, because that's creatives for you. Like, when creatives have one thing open, they want to finish, especially when it matters to them, before they accept anything else to come in and they can give themselves to, you know, that. And so I knew once he got that off his chest, I knew it was a good time to just bother him and nudge him again and say, really? Hey, bro, like on the real though, like I don't feel like waiting around and I would really love to. He would tell you, I sounded like a broken record. I sounded like that kid who really wanted a pair of Jordans, like the Jordans that every other kid is about to have at school and you nagging your parents until they finally give in. That was me on his phone like every other day.
Every other day, sending me beats like, hey, what do you think of this?
Sending like 20 beats a day.
What do you think of this? I'm like, yo, man. I'm out here looking for jobs. And he's like, listen to the beat though. And I'm like, come on, man.
I wasn't playing with him. I told him, and it's just like once him and I just like found that common ground, and we found the type of instrumentations that would represent us both to the best of our abilities. Oh, we got busy. Like, we got busy. It just was a flow, man. It was like water from the well just finally just flowing through. And it didn't stop. It just did not stop. And that's how we were able to come up with all of it. Yeah, it felt great. It felt great. It was amazing. Yeah.
We would hear the songs. Yeah, we would hear the songs after we got done recording them and just be like, yeah. Yeah, I would call him and be like, yo, this is hot. And mind you, I'll tell him that the song is hot, and that's like only the 3rd or 4th song we did for the project. We still working on more music, and I'm like, oh man, I was like, this is gonna get better. What really made it work though was really our chemistry. I remember my brother saying, this was probably what, a couple weeks ago or maybe a couple days ago. He was like, yeah, bro, you're the only person that I want to do a collab with. Like, he was like, yeah, this makes me not want to do a collaboration with anybody else. Because, you know, we went through a lot just to do this collaboration. And what really made it worse was the fact that, you know, our distance, you know, he's in North Carolina and I'm in DC. But it also showed me And I hope it showed him as well, is that no matter where you are, if you want to get something done, get it done. You see how we're here now on the podcast, you know, right now. So now when I'm in the area and like other artists want to collab with me, I'm looking at them like, okay, I'm ready. If you want to do this, let's like, you know, let's do it. It'll be about a month go by, don't hear from them. And then I'll drop a song. And next thing you know, they'd be like, bro, where you at, dog? I was like, then I'll screenshot their message and it says, I'll get back to you from them. And right. I'll be like, you never got back to me, man. And yes. Then I hear, I got this and I got that. I'm like, bro, you was just in Miami last week. You wasn't doing anything, man. Like, so, you know, I just kind of left that alone. So it lets me know that no matter where you are, anything is possible if you really wanted to get it done. And then it also lets me know how passionate you are. Because, you know, when they see me do certain shows, you know, that's why people wanted to work with me too. And Eli, I tell you, I had the DMs blowing up. I opened up for Sean Paul, Jacquees, and I was a partner with my homeboy Dino when he opened up for Ja Rule. So, you know, to get on those stages and then to get all that, you know, now I have to weed out the people who are serious. And the only person who stood out was my brother. That was it. Everybody else isn't serious because, you know, when you start talking about money and contracts, mm-hmm. people start stuttering.
Yeah.
They stutter more than me. And I naturally stutter. So, you know.
He said, so I naturally do it. So when people do it more than me, do it. That's a good one. But I love that story. And I just want to take you guys back to look at the fact that it was military, medical, and NBA that started what eventually became one of the most awesome collaborations I've heard in the recent past. So congrats to the two of you for making that happen. What do you feel, aside from the distance, were some of the hiccups that you guys incurred kind of attempting to make this collaboration happen? Do you feel that it was the trust levels, as that was something that we touched on? Do you feel like that was the biggest thing that you guys had a hurdle with, or?
I would say for me, trust wasn't the issue. I would say the hurdle on my end just really came from just personal dealings, like, you know, like, and he'll tell you, you know, in the top of the year, you know, I had to bury my mother. And so that was like, you know, just those emotions, you know, I dealt with a lot of emotions throughout the year of 2020, but also just still trying to be as productive as possible, you know, for my family. And he'll tell you, like, you know, I got a 16 month old daughter. You know, I'm new to the daddy game, you know, I'm a newly wedded husband, you know, just everything just so new and life changes. Is a lot to really pick up on. But one of the things I challenged myself on was just professionalism and also just being emotionally intelligent. And at the same time, like, still being a present father and husband. So those bring challenges sometimes as a musician, I would say, because they tell you in this business, you got to pick one, right? But then I've also just witnessed like other successful musicians and artists who have been able to be successful fathers, successful husbands, keep their marriage going for 20 plus years and still have a great career. It's just all about what you want. And I had to really make a decision in 2020, what type of artist I wanted to be. Do I want to be the artist that gets hot today and not talked about tomorrow? Or do I want to be that artist who builds and builds up and just make great music and just focus on the artistry and let the art, and you know, great things take time. So not rushing myself, but at the same time being prompt and just being sharp with everything I do. And so those were the challenges on my end individually, especially when it came to being present in the project and just getting started on continuing making this project.
Mm. You know, like, trust wasn't the issue. That wasn't the issue. One of the things that I know that I encountered during the collaboration was, of course, I said it before, was looking for jobs. The pandemic had everybody jobless during that time. So I'm sitting here running around trying to figure out how am I going to get studio time? How am I going to have time to make this music when I'm out here searching for jobs? where am I going to live? All of that. I recently just moved into my own place in October. Everything is good now. You know, I'm happy. I'm not content because I still want to grow. The people around us, and I think me and him had those conversations of like, who was going to do what each other's role was. Mind you, so, you know, since we were in two different states, we had two different engineers. So, you know, we're going to different studios and we're trying to combine each sound to make it sound as one, but also also dynamic as well. Like, you know, we want to have compare and contrast. And when people ask me to describe us, I always say he's the subtle artist. You know, the music is very, you know, it's smooth, it's calm, and it feels good. I'm more the in your face with my music. Like, you know, if you ready to party, yeah, play my music. You know, you trying to chill and catch a vibe, play his music. Now, you know, we're trying to figure out how to combine that. And when you do combine it, it's amazing. The best of both worlds. Everybody, you know, you just get it. And, you know, while he was going through what he was going through, because I remember him giving me the phone call when he told me about his mom passing. And I knew that the following year was going to be rough for him. And I knew he was going to get busy. You know, when people go through something like that, you know, they try not to think about it, but it's kind of hard not to. Of course. And it showed in his work ethic. So I knew that. So, you know, I knew that I needed to be there for him in any way possible, even if he didn't bring it up. You know, if he didn't bring it up, you know, I had to take that mental note in the back of my head, like, okay, there could be any time that he wants to talk about it. And no matter what we're doing with our music, I need to stop, listen, and be there. You know, there's always a time to be professional. There's always time to be that friend that, you know, whenever they need you. So.
Eli, congratulations and condolences for this past year. And, you know, one of the most important pieces that you mentioned in what you were saying is precisely something that I think my audience is probably sick of hearing me state, but taking the baby steps. And no matter how small those steps are, consistently taking them and making sure that you are taking them is what moves you forward. Regardless as to which direction you might take them, you will be on your path and be able to move forward if you keep moving forward. If you stop taking the steps, that's when things fall apart. And it sounds as though you were capable of consistently moving yourself forward through a great deal of ups and downs throughout the entire year, which I'm positive many, many people struggled with throughout the year. But it's outstanding to see that you continued to push yourself forward. The other piece that's very important in the journey that you both have expressed is really making sure to surround yourself with the right people, the people who are going to support you on this journey, the people who are going to give you that feedback, that undivided attention, that dedication to the craft is something that is difficult to come by. And it's something that you have to focus on making sure that you find the right people. And when it comes to a musical collaboration, as you both indicated, that can be that much more challenging on a level that I hadn't even realistically considered. I personally hate putting audio tracks together. That's just a vocal track conversation, never mind music. So hats off to both of you because the talent is real. I just wouldn't go there. To top it off, attempting to do it from different states and locales and different engineers on top of all that, I can only imagine the number of headaches and hiccups that have occurred throughout that sort of a scenario. What do you guys feel really helped the most throughout this past year and throughout the startup of the journey itself?
It was honestly just a lot. I'm a very spiritual person. Like just going back, I grew up in the church. Just like I'm sure a lot of us have in the world. And one of the main things, especially my mother always would harp on me about, was what is your relationship like with God? And just, you know, like what's the conversations you have with him and not just what you're asking him for. And so, It really helped me to just really get back to that. It helped keep me centered. And like I said, just about being emotionally intelligent. Of course, you know, there were days where I would just My wife would just look at me sometimes, wake up in bed, she'd be like, are you okay today? Because it looks like one of those days. And I'd be like, yeah, it's one of those days. And, you know, you just don't want to be bothered. And those would be days, honestly, where I would just, like, pray, meditate, and at the same time, drown myself in music. Like, I would just, like, just listen to so much music on those days. So just meditating, just keeping myself centered is something that helped me out the most. And that's something I continue to do, and it keeps me going forward.
It was two things for me. Of course, you know, going through everything that I was going through, you know, I had to reach out to God way more than I would normally do. And I just told, and I, you know, I just asked him to just, you know, show me a way that I need to go. It might not be the way that I think I need to go, but if that's where I need to go, that's where I'm going to go. And that helped me as far as, like, you know, getting jobs too. You know, I was getting jobs that I never thought I would end up working for. I was working for people I never thought I'd end up working for, but it helped me out, especially with us. And the other thing was consistency. We were both consistent when it came to our music. So I knew that as long as one thing was going, if it feels good, you know, ain't no need in stopping it. Just, you know, just keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. No matter where it takes you. And at the end of the day, thank God, because he put you in that situation. He helped you out. And you got to thank him for that.
Just finish that off would be purpose. Like, just understanding that everything has a purpose. And I think that I would definitely credit that even to this pandemic. Like, being able to just, like, sit down, it was very unfortunate that obviously a lot of businesses had to shut down, a lot of people lost their jobs, but I think a lot of us can agree when the world shut down, it gave us a chance to really look in the mirror and just really take in all that we see. And for me, I communicated to that, wow, everything truly does have a purpose. Like, this pandemic had a purpose. Like, everything I'm going through right now has a purpose. And even just the music that me, him, and I were able to create, it has its purpose. You know, it has its purpose. There's a time and a place, and it's going to have that surge where it just really gets this huge boost. And it's going to land us in a place where we always talk about it manifest, you know, being at that next level or getting those conversations started. Mm-hmm. So that's what this time really helped me understand, which is everything has its purpose.
Definitely. Everything happens for a reason. Everything has its purpose. And truthfully, as you explained, everyone had that moment to be still this year. And that's not something that life provides on a grand scheme the way that it was provided this past year. So I feel that was truly the silver lining throughout the pandemic. So you guys have an album dropping on February 5th. From what I understand. So please share with me all about the album.
We didn't know what to call it. Mm-hmm. And I think he remembers the first one I said. I was like, let's call it Bored Brothers. Like,
oh my God.
Bored,
yeah,
Brothers.
Thank God.
So we just talking, and I don't know. I don't know how we decided to say, I don't know how we like came to an agreement just to say bored, like the actual word B-O-R-E-D.
I think you just, like, threw it out there. You were just like, yeah, I got it. You texted it to me. He's like, I got it. And it's like bored. And I read the text and I said, that's kind of cool. But then him and I got on the phone about it and was like, yo, there's got to be a doper way to say bored. Like, let's look up different languages and like, let's really understand, you know, like, you know, how we could communicate this and create a story behind why we chose that. And that's how we went through like a lot of different languages and bored with not sounding cool in a lot of different languages.
So some people was like, you shouldn't not. And I was like, okay, nope, that's not it. Like,
like
the German, like I was looking at everything, but you know, the first thing I did look up though was Latin. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in music, you know, that's how we define our words. Whenever we see words in music compositions, it's mainly in Latin. So I was like, okay, well, maybe Latin should be cool, somewhat sexy. It just had the word bored with the line above the E. I was like, okay, this isn't cool. I was like,
it was pretty lame. It was pretty lame. I was like, I was expecting more. on the Google search. I was like, nah, that ain't it, fam. That ain't it. That ain't nah. it.
And so I was like, let's look at this up in Creole. I looked it up and I saw the spelling. The spelling, I was like, this is hard. I was like, I love the way this is spelled. So I sent it to him. I sent it to him. I was like, yo, this right here. And I kid you not, for about a week or two, we was pronouncing it wrong because, I mean, the way that Google said it, I was like, okay, because we all believe that, you know, Google right. is right.
Google's correct.
Right, so, right.
So, you know.
Because the Google pronunciation is the end all be all.
Right, yep. right. Yep. yep, that's what it called it, because it's spelled A-N-N-I-Y-E. So I was like, all right, a niña. So I'm going around saying, yo, a niña, a niña. I'm like, beat it into my head. And so
I ended like up... co-worker.
So, right, I ended up getting a new job, right? And I was telling her about the project that we had. And she was like, oh, what's the name of it? And I was like, oh, that's right, because I was like, oh, you do speak Creole. So I was like, it's called a niña. And she was like, what did you say? I was like, it's called a niña. And she was like, wait, write that down for me. So I wrote it down, and she's like looking at me, and she's like, that's not how you say it. And I'm just like, ooh. I was like, well, we about to walk around here sounding stupid. And so when she pronounced it for me, I said, you're going to have to say this like at least 100 times while we're here. Yes. Mind you, that was my training day on that. That was my first day on that new job. And she was having to teach me her language. So I'm like, okay, say it again. So it's actually pronounced Anyue.
Anyue. Okay.
Anyue. So
I like that way better, honestly.
I do too.
Way better.
Yes. Anyue.
Anyue.
Much better.
So like, I was like, yeah, and then she was like, no, it sounds like this. I said, look, this is the best interpretation that you're gonna get from me. I was like, I honestly wanted her to record it, like, right. so that, you know, because I had an idea, but I never could do it. I wanted her to record it on my voice app.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when the first song started, I never told Eli that because it never happened. It was just a good idea because nobody knew how to pronounce it.
Right.
So, because I'm pretty sure when people see it, they're gonna do what we did: type it in Google and hit that speaker button, and it's gonna say a niña, and we're gonna be like, "That's wrong."
All right, techie community, an unanticipated learning moment that I've never even thought to bring up myself. Yeah, stop using the pronunciation on Google for actually figuring out how to say words. It doesn't work.
No, it's only for English.
It might be a human voice, but it's not a human actually enunciating most of the words. The audio track is just laid over text that is designed to be read by the computer. Next up, a clip from the song How Come off of their upcoming album, Anyue.
Listen, I got this woman who's begging my line all through the night, yeah. How can this woman and you on my line all through the night, yeah? I can't sit here and wait for you. Text you and say, please come through. No more love for you.
Caught up trying to make a split decision. I know just what I need, but my heart was wanted once. I get it, I get it. You think I'm being selfish, but put yourself inside my shoes. Tell me, girl, what would you do? I tried to say this, still you chose to push my love aside. Gave you all my truths and still you chose to tell me lies. Running out of patience, don't think I'll be staying. I'm on the market for a better thing. Ooh,
I got this woman who's begging my line all through the night, yeah. How can this woman and you on my line all through the night?
Love that. Thank you for the awesome track. What was the inspiration for How Come? Where did you guys start off with the thought process there?
I already had the beat and I already wrote the hook for it. Okay. So it brought me back to, like, you know, because, you know, of course the lyrics, you know, I'm very straightforward when I write my music. You know, I don't do hints and metaphors a lot. You know, I'm just straight to the point. I want you to understand what I'm really saying. So, you know, the first two lines, I got this woman who's banging my line all through the night. How come this woman ain't you on my line all through the night? Mm-hmm. It's kind of self-explanatory. It's like, I want you calling, you know, now I got this, you know what I'm saying? Now I got this other girl, you know, she's consistent and you're not, you know, but I want it to be you. Right. So now I don't want to, I'm not going to sit around and play this game with you anymore. So if you're not going to be consistent, then I'm just going to go.
Now, were these real life scenarios? Or were these thought processes? See, that was a real question there. And you're dancing around me.
I didn't dance around. I just thought.
Yeah, to think real quick. I was caught off guard.
We just got done doing an album release party for the project, and people would ask me the same question. And I gave them the same reaction. I just started laughing. I was just like, here we go. But yeah, it's real. But, you know, it's real, and it's like real, and it's also, you know, what would a man in that situation be thinking of, thinking about? So I took a real story, and I took the what if sides of it too, and just I put it together. And then I sent it to Eli.
And then he had the opportunity to just run with it from there.
Yeah. He when he gave me the concept, well, when I heard the concept in the hook, it just honestly, like, I'm a writer first, and he'll tell you that. Like, I'm a writer. And so in my brain, I was just like, man, like, how can I paint a description for this moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just thought back to times, like, honestly, when I was talking about it, I was talking about, like, how when I met my wife, I was getting out of a situation new, and it was the better situation for me. And that's why I was like, that's why in the second half of my hook, of my verse, you hear me talking about my new lady is this and that and the third, and it was better.
Mm-hmm.
I love how it's truly a collaboration, not just of voices, but truly of the artists. Minds and lives completely in the song. And that's what I was curious about. I was wondering whether this was one scenario that was being written about or whether it was truly a collaborative effort. So thank you for that, because I could tell it wasn't just one person's story. So, you know, it's interesting how you guys are collaborating in that respect. It's not just, you know, one of you is writing the entire song and the other one's working on the beats or the vocals or the track. No, you guys are truly even taking the entire storyline of your music and your collaboration and creating the collaboration there as well. So I absolutely love that.
Right.
If you guys have the opportunity to say, go back to December of 2019 and tell yourselves just one thing, what do you think that would be and why?
Can I go back further?
Go for it.
All right. Let's go back, like, you know, 15 years, like, you know, the 15, 16 year old me. If I could go back in time and tell him anything, it could be, if it's anything, I'd have told him, don't go to the military, do your music. Mm. And get into vocals. Mm. Like, so then, you know, when I got to college, I would have took it more seriously. Mm. If the future me came back to my past me and said that, I would have listened. Because one, I would have been scared because the fact that I'm seeing my future me. And now I'm just like, what, you know, because I was already into music. So now I just want to see what would happen if I took it that serious. What would be different? And I feel like had I did that, it would be like my lifestyle would be very, very, very different. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure me and Eli would have still been friends. Like, we would have still been friends, like, but I think it would have sped up the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think even just telling, I'll stay within the time frame, because like 2019, that was like a... That was definitely I got the call. My mom passed away on Christmas Day of that year. So I would say for me, what I would tell myself is, you know, just what kind of what my inner thoughts were, but I would be more sure of it, obviously, now. I'd just be like, man, when you go and write again, don't ever hold back. You know, just that's all I would tell myself. Like every time you write, just never hold back, no matter how stupid it may sound at first. Just never hold back because you can create some beautiful stuff that people can relate to. So that's what I would just do. I just motivate myself to keep going.
I love it. Get started and keep moving forward. Two very valuable things for the audience to understand, because that's really what it takes. It takes making the initiative to actually do something, you know, not delaying it, not allowing yourself to get deterred or distracted, to take the initiative to start and then to continue down that journey. So the show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with an idea for a business in an industry that they may not have been thinking of. So thinking about the music industry, or as if you could wave a magic wand and change anything at all, what would it be and why?
Oh, I'm letting Eli answer that first.
Man, that's a loaded gun right there. Oh man, it's a lot of power.
I'm muting my mic now.
So that's a lot of power. Oh man, if I could wave my magic wand, oh man, I honestly, I'd have a label and put on the people that I've definitely been able to connect with that's super talented but under the radar today. And it's all because, you know, people aren't seeking them out. And, you know, I find these needles in a haystack and I'm like, dang, man, I have a decent knowledge of the music business. I understand things and I'm a go-getter, I'm a hustler. I reach out to many people via email every day. He will tell you, because he CC'd on those emails for this project. So really, you know, just be in a position to really just put other people on, because I'm not selfish. And as much as, and I just love music at the end of the day, I love it that much. I love it that much. Just sit in a room, and if I was in the power, I'd be like, you signed, let's go. You know, you signed, like, mm-hmm. I'm bringing you. So
we gotta get that to
would
that
be
boardroom.
That would be my wish.
We gotta get to
the man. Because
there's a lot of people wishing that you had that boardroom right now. So we're gonna have to work that out. Boys, tell me, what do you feel like you would change?
So this is based off of like some research I've done. I really wish A&Rs, people, you know, who search for talent, mm-hmm. would host the open mics, you know, because that's how a lot of artists start. That's how they get their reps in. That's how they get better. And if the A&Rs are there watching them grow, they could see like the real potential. You know, now it's just about numbers and everything. And what I've researched, most A&Rs who are actually going out to do talent searches, their job is on the line. They're about to lose their job. Mm. because they haven't really picked good talent that, you know, that can represent them very well. So that's when you start seeing these random A&Rs pop up. And it's a name you've never heard before. It's like, yeah, he's about to get fired. So that's, I've like read about that and I was just like, wow, you know. And I think as indie artists, I think what we really want from the industry, if I could wave my wand, my magic wand, would be a transparency from them. Like, just tell me what it is. What am I getting into? Because they're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. They're going to find a way to get you in, you know, not really tell you what you're getting into. And we still hear artists to this day saying it, oh, I don't know what I got into. So that lets me know that the music industry lacks transparency, especially with the artists. Now the artists got to go out their way and go find, you know, any means of to educate themselves in the music industry that they already signed on the dotted line, you know. Now they're in something and they don't really know what they're in.
Yeah, so, artist's education. You know, that falls back to even what we were talking about when we started the episode and how we came about meeting in Open Gem and the lack of real music history or real music theory under their belt when they are attempting to dive into an industry that they're not familiar with. And industry knowledge is not something that is taught anywhere. So maybe that's something that, you know, the techie community or even the two of you eventually start building out, is some sort of education platform for those that are interested in the music industry to truly be able to understand the industry a lot better prior to jumping in, to provide true transparency as to what contracts truly are set up for, how they operate, what purposes they are serving, how to enact different pieces of those things. That's definitely a piece that should be out there and is lacking in the industry. So thank you for that. Techie community, get on it. Yeah. Create this platform because it's much needed.
Yeah, my comparison to how knowledgeable people are in the music industry, I think people who think they know about it, they know just as much as they, you know. It's like, I compare it to taxes. Mm. You know, not everybody really understands how taxes work. And not everybody as any artist understand the music industry. So that comparison to me, it opened my eyes like tremendously, because unless you do a deep dive, the IRS isn't going to tell you how taxes work. Mm-mm. They're not going to say nothing. Mm-hmm. And just like the music industry, you know, both of those companies are money hungry. Yeah, they want to give you money back, but both of them, billions, trillions of dollars, they see all this money. So mm-hmm. what do you think? You know, they're coming to us, yeah, give me more money. They don't mind giving it out because they know they're gonna get it back.
Yep. It's like taking both out it's like taking out a lifetime loan. You know, you go to the label and they offer you an advance. And a lot of artists don't know that advance money it's not what you think it is. It's actually it comes with interest, and you have to pay it back with interest. And on top of that, we're going to take your music catalog. And on top of that, we need this many albums from you. We need this many radio quality singles ready to go from you. And if you don't provide it for us, we're just going to bench you, and you're still going to owe us money. So now you're in a position where you can't make money and you owe money. That's how loans work. If you can't pay the loan back, or not in a position to do anything to get that loan paid off, mm-hmm. they take everything you own, and they still tell you, you owe us until the day you die.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
And not only do you owe them, but now they own everything that you've created. So, you know, it's imperative that you read these contracts, because a lot of people don't read. All they hear is, you know, we're going to give you $500,000. You can move your families out the project, you know, things like that, you know, inspirational words. That's the whole lack of transparency. They don't tell you, oh, you're going to have to pay that back. Mm-hmm. Like that whole plus interest, like people really don't know. And it's based off of really how much you hustle. They, you know, mind you, don't get me wrong. The industry has everything that an artist or any artist would ever want, as far as how to get the name out there. Now, what it's really up to you to create that content and to make sure that the team behind you is, you know, supporting you. Because that industry, they're just giving you money and they're trying to get money back. They're trying to keep the flow of money coming into their business.
Right.
Yes. Right. Yes.
That's it. You're nothing but a pawn.
Yeah.
And, yep. You know, there's a lot of pawns. And then I think right now we have knights. You know, like the people who are big, like, you know, like the Chris Browns and the people, because think about it. A pawn can only go straight, remember? So, you know, and a knight, they can go straight and they can be like, nah, I'm gonna go left this time. And the only people that can get away with that is like a Drake or a Chris Brown, because people are like, yeah, we'll let you do it. You know what I mean? So, no, for real. We try to go left. Now, that's not how your piece works. Like, you got to do something else.
Right. No, I hear you, but I actually want to bring you back just for a second, because I think what you said is also really important. When you are consistently receiving a message of pure inspiration without the information behind it, it's a cautionary tale. I don't care what industry, what age, it doesn't matter. If it is inspirational solely as the message is provided, take caution, because there's information that's lacking in that transaction. So yeah, no, thank you for bringing that up. I don't think we've ever actually mentioned that one on the show. And I just happen to hear that in there. And just, it really is important to be wise as you're interacting with other people. So again, if it's inspirational solely, and there's absolutely no information included, be cautious as to what it is you're getting yourself into. You guys have been outstanding. I have truly enjoyed having you both on the show today. I thank you so much for joining us. Please share the best way for our listeners to find each of you.
You can follow me on any social platform at IAMESIX. That you can do it on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the whole nine. And if you want to find my music, just type in Elijah Rosario. That's ELIJAH. Rosario, R-O-S-A-R-I-O.
Awesome.
You can find me on any social media, _VOY, Y as in Yankee, C-E. Once again, that is _VOYCE. And if you're looking at me on the DSP, the digital streaming platforms, just type in my name, VOYCE. You're going to see a dark-skinned man posing as a light-skinned dude, okay? That's me. I'm gonna have my eyes squinted and everything.
I thank you both for joining me today. You guys have been hilarious. I've enjoyed hearing the journey, and I wish you guys the best of luck on the upcoming album. I look forward to hearing that as it drops. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
Certainly.
Yes, thank you.
Voice and Elijah, thank you both so much for sharing your time, expertise, and your journey with the community. And Techie Community, thank you guys for hanging out with us here for episode 94. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. And be sure to grab your copy of Anyway this weekend. We will be sure to include a link through the show notes page over at technology-equality.com/voiceandelijah. Again, thank you for joining us this week. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions. Enjoy the week.